Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A. member FDIC.
Hello, here we go. It's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cop Hype Podcast. Before we start with this greatest 11 piece, there's just a little tribute we'd like to pay to a very special person connected with our football club. That was, of course, our little tribute there to Ray Clements, who sadly has passed away. Rest in peace, Ray Clements. Arguably our greatest ever number one. Mick, just a few words on Ray Clements.
Well, unfortunately, I weren't old enough to see him playing for Liverpool. Obviously, played during the 60s, 70s and 80s, wasn't it, really? Well, just beginning of the 80s. So I came around about 10 years later. But from the videos you see, obviously, just saw some clips of it there. Just a massive character, one of the best we've ever had, and will rightly go down as probably our best ever goalkeeper and one of the best the world's ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. 19, you know, he's won 5 league titles with us, 3 European Cups, 2 UEFA Cups, a European Super Cup. The man's a legend. And I think, Matt, for someone of yourself, of your age, people that goalkeepers that have graced Liverpool, you've obviously heard the name and heard the legend of Ray Clements. And obviously everyone always said that he's arguably the greatest ever number one. There's obviously a nice Brazilian goalkeeper that's wanting to take that mantle from him, but he's got a long way to go before he catches Clements up in terms of being the greatest ever number one, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he said it, the honours speak for themselves. Like Mick, never got a chance to see him, but the stories, the highlights, the little clips, you can see his quality. Hopefully Alisson can repeat it. But he's got some catching up to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, I think on behalf of a lot of Liverpool fans that we thank Ray Clements for everything he did for this football club and dedicate his cause. And obviously, we all know about the struggles that he's been through with his health over the last few years. And he's been a bit of a trooper, you know, he's in terms of like what he suffered from. He's done so much charity work. He's done a lot of work for England, obviously, and goalkeeper coach for a long time. He's been an absolute credit to this football club and a credit to himself and his family. And we wish nothing but thoughts and prayers with his family at this tough time. But rest in peace, Ray Clements, and thank you very much. So obviously, the reason why we're doing this podcast today is for our greatest 11s. Lads have been busy since Friday, obviously coming down from the old big Torres and Owen debate that we had on Friday. Thought that was pretty decent, boys. If I do say so myself, we had a good time there. But yeah, we've now decided that we're going to do our greatest Liverpool 11s and our greatest non-Liverpool 11s. And I think we'll go with our greatest Liverpool 11s first. And young Matthew, I'm going to come to you first, mate, in terms of the greatest Liverpool 11. So no, your sorry. Choice first. So first of all, was it an easy task?
Easy apart from 2 positions.
Okay, which 2 positions were they struggling with, mate, then?
Centre-back and striker.
Centre-back and striker. Okay, cool. So, as we move forward with this then, we'll go through Matt's first and then Mick, we can dissect Matt's and then we can argue with yours, then we can see which one's the better one. So, first of all, Matt, who's your goalkeeper?
Alisson. Easy.
Yeah. Very easy. Obviously but is that just because of winning the Premier League title and the Champions League in such a short space of time?
And it's just general all-round play. Of course, what he won helps I think Reina was a quality goalkeeper, but he was never really considered the best in the world, whereas Alisson is up there consistently, talked about as possibly the greatest keeper in the world at the moment. So it was an easy decision.
Fair enough, mate. I don't think anybody argued. I think me and Mick would probably pick the same for either. But who's your right back?
Trent, again, easy decision. Premier League, Champions League. He's got a wand of a right foot. Probably not as defensively capable as someone like Arbeloa, who I got to see. But going forward, just it smashes everyone in contention. So easy.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Like you just said, you've mentioned Arbeloa there, and it's a bit unfair that obviously with us doing the deal. I've gone for the right back position, Kronkamp. You know, forget about Kronkamp there. You know, Jan Kronkamp. Arbeloa, obviously, massive, massive shout. Steve Finnan's a great shout as well. But I think, I think you left back.
My left back is Robbo. Easy again. I think that I loved Fabio Aurelio, but he was very injury prone. I also loved Risa, but I think Robbo is. Possibly our best left back of all time, at least from what I've been able to see. Well, I think he's the best left back in the world at the moment.
Yeah, good shout, mate. Yeah, I don't think you can argue with that. So who's your centre back? So give us your first centre back.
Oh, Van Dijk, easy. Van Dijk was the easy one. It's the second one that I struggled with.
I think it's one of the things, isn't it, when you're picking this 11. I remember, Mick, we did a show on this last year, didn't we, with Jay from Spy and Cop, and the back sort of, out the back five, it sort of picks itself, really, doesn't it, about one position, because it's hard to move away from the three out of the four that we've got in our defence at the minute. So, Matt, I totally agree with you there, mate. But obviously, it comes down to the struggle for the final position for centre-back. So, you know, I'm worried for you, mate. But who is it?
So I went with Jamie Carragher, right? But my issue with this, I guess, comes down to my age, because there's no questioning that Jamie Carragher is one of the best centre backs that we've had. But I'm not sure I saw Jamie Carragher in his prime. With that being said, Jamie Carragher was world class, and even on the decline, I think he was still better. Then my honourable mention, which is Joel Matip, who I think, when he's fit and firing, he's the best centre-back to be paired alongside Van Dijk.
Okay. So, it's like, mate, you just hit the nail on the head there with the age thing, because obviously I think everybody's watching and stuff like this, they'll probably thought, well, is it a toss-up between Carragher and Hippier? Because that's obviously, from a Premier League perspective, from our age perspective, mate, we definitely said that those two were the top two in the Premier League. But don't forget, Matt, this is your team. Obviously, this is your all-time Premier League. Yeah. Not the all-time Liverpool Premier League. We're going to put that in the comments. We're going to put that on our Twitter feed to you know, gauge the best Premier League off everybody. But this is your Premier League 11. So far, we've got Alisson in goal. I think you're safe there, pal. You got Trent at fullback. You got Robert at fullback. Big Virg at the back, partner with Carragher. A partnership I think every Liverpool fan would have loved to have seen. Carragher has even said it himself. So, now you need to tell us your formation. So, are you going for a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3?
Or 3-3.
4-3-3. Right, go for it, mate. Who's midfielder?
Xavi Alonso. Easy. I mean, I don't have to say anything about Xavi Alonso. Everyone knows who Xavi Alonso is. Non-Liverpool fans can appreciate what Xavi Alonso was. He made Liverpool tick. When we lost Xavi Alonso to Real Madrid, we went down the shitter. So
he's done it again, Mikani, with his little Spanish influence there. You heard it then, didn't you? Real Madrid. I love it. Keep it going without him there, so I love it. Yeah, mate, Xavi Alonso, I don't think you can argue with that. I think at the end of the day, Alonso did for us what Kevin De Bruyne does for Man City. He just puts the ball in sixpence, mate. So, yeah. Loving that midfield. Love that fish midfielder. Who's next?
Stevie G. Easy. Mr. Liverpool. If he's not in anyone's Liverpool 11, then they're not a Liverpool fan. Simple as. It's undoubtable what he did for the team. He dragged us to a Champions League final. He almost won us a Premier League, like, multiple times. So he's Mr. Liverpool.
He is Mr. Liverpool, mate. Obviously, there's always that debate of who's the greatest player to ever put on a Liverpool shirt. And obviously, there's always the toss of the coin between Kenny and Stevie. For you, mate, is he the greatest player that's ever played for Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, I never got to see Kenny. I don't doubt that Kenny was amazing, because you see it in the highlights, you see that he gets talked about. But I think just the fact that he's a local lad as well just should put him above, because he did what any fan would want to do. Not only did he play for Liverpool and turn out for us, but he captained us for years. And if we had treated him better towards, or if he would have been treated better towards the end of his career, then he wouldn't have left. So, yeah, he's number one for me.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue with Steven Gerrard, mate. Like you said, if anybody doesn't put him in, you'd have to raise a little bit of eyebrows out about it, wouldn't you? Who's the final person in that midfield?
All right, it was a toss-up, but I've gone with Jordan Henderson. He's the captain now. I think he's our longest-serving player at the moment. He's lifted the Champions League, first Liverpool captain to ever lift the Premier League. And you, regardless of how world-class our team is, you notice when he's not there. And if he's that vital to this team, then he has to be in mine.
Yeah, I think I was debating it, mate. I was debating to put Hendo in. You know, you'll find out in a minute whether I put him in or not. It's hard. There's so many arguments to put him in, and then there's so many arguments against it in terms of, like, the other players that have graced our midfield. You know, at one point we did have the best midfield in the world, but I think for a player that's lifted a Premier League title, and we're talking about the greatest Premier League 11, it's hard to argue against it, mate. And it's a massive, massive shout to put Hendo in there, because all likely, mate, he deserves it as winning the Premier League for Liverpool. So I don't think, again, many people can argue with it, mate, you know, at the end of the day. So I love it. Again, solid middle, that Alonso, Gerrard and Henderson. I'll absolutely love that. Come on then. We're spoiled for choice when it comes to firepower in the Premier League. We really have been in the Premier League era, mate. So who's is your front three a free roll? You know, no one's gonna have to stay to the left, to the right, to the middle, go across the goal, three rolls.
Yeah, go wherever
you want. Then, mate. Who's the first one?
Mohamed Salah. Criminally just shat on consistently despite his numbers. I saw something on TalkSport earlier today when they were said that when the host said Mohamed Salah isn't world class, and it's just what? You see his numbers, you see what he does on a consistent basis. Like one season wonder, nah. Two season wonder, nah. Three season wonder, nah. This man is just on fire consistently, and you can't leave him out.
Yeah, that is true, mate. That is absolutely true. His goals will speak for say, and like Mick says, you know, Mick is the president of the Mo Salah fan club. It's one of them where you'll realise when he's not here. And that's why I always loved what Mick said a while back, is that when Mo Salah isn't here, you know, hopefully it's not for a very, very long time, we will feel it and we will see it. So, yeah, you can't argue with Salah going in there, mate. So go on then. Who's next in your front line?
Sadio Mane. Sadio Mane.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, I think arguably, as world class as Salah is, I'd pip Mane over Salah, just because he's ridiculously unpredictable. You can't defend Sadio Mane. With Salah, it's quite apparent that he's going to cut in on his left. With Mane, he doesn't even know what he's going to do, and his left foot is also lethal. I'd argue that he's up with De Bruyne. He's up there for the title of best Premier League player. So I couldn't keep.
Okay, good shout. Sané, Mali, like there'll be a nice, decent relationship there. They know each other very well. So loving it so far. So who's the final piece of the jigsaw?
All right, this one was hard. I had to go with head over heart.
Okay.
Now, from the last podcast, everyone will know my love for Fernando Torres. I think he's one of the best strikers that we've ever had. And he was my hero. But I've gone for Luis Suarez.
Oh, okay. Right. All right. See, I don't know about you, Mick, but when I was thinking this, I thought Torres is nailed on as the last one there. So, Matt, yeah, you've surprised me there. So why have you gone for Suarez?
He's a better player, as just in general play. He almost carried Liverpool to a Premier League title. Like, he was on fire that season. He was better at Liverpool than Torres ever was, just in terms of what he did. He's ridiculous. He got a move to Barcelona. He blew up again there. He won the Premier League Player of the Year, and he's just all round. And system-wise, I feel like he'd fit in to that system better than Torres would. I don't think you can argue with Luis Suarez, but it definitely was hard leaving Fernando Torres out.
I can imagine, mate. I can imagine, like I said, we've been spot for choice for strikers in the Premier League era. And I don't know, Mick, you know, Matt's team there. He's gone for Alisson, Trent, Carragher, Van Dijk, Robertson, Alonso, Gerrard and Hendo in the middle, up front, Mane, Salah and Luis Suarez. Any comments on that? It's a formidable team.
You can't argue, can you? Really? I mean, I've only got a few differences from that, really. So it's, I think everyone's pretty much best 11 is 90% that, isn't it? Obviously, there's a few contentious points, obviously, Suarez or Torres, and then obviously is Hendo. Does Hendo go in there yet, or does he not? So, yeah, you can't argue with that team, though, boss.
Exactly, and I'm sure the teams that everyone that picks will just be, you take anybody in a lottery, wouldn't you, really? So, but Matt, no, nice one, mate. Thanks for that. Again, I'm shocked Torres isn't in there after the last podcast, mate. But I said, sure, 11, shocked. Pal. You can do it however you want, head over heart or whatever. So that doesn't matter. Right, Mick, what are we saying for yourself then? Let's have a look at this. So Matt picked Alisson as his goalkeeper, mate. Are you going any different with Dudek, Vesterveld? Are you going for Pepe Reina?
Oh, it's got to be Alisson Becker, hasn't it? Best keeper, okay. Best keeper in the world for me, and has been since he came from Roma. A couple of years ago, it would have been Reina for me, but obviously since we've gone on to win all these trophies with Alisson in goal, and when he's not there, you feel that presence, that it's a big gaping hole at the back, like we do with Van Dijk as well. So he's got to be our best by a long way, to be honest.
Yeah, no, fair enough, mate. I'm going to go left back this time you, instead of going right back. Left back, who's your left back? I can say left back one more time. Left back. Robbo, yeah, again. Mate, come on. I love John Anarisa, don't get me wrong, but it's got Robbo, hasn't it?
Yeah, notable mention, obviously, John Anarisa, who's boss, had the boss left foot, he was boss going forward, but Robbo is just, I don't know if it's a recency bias, but I just think Robertson's a better all-round footballer, like in terms of, he's the best in the world as well, so it's hard to go against that, because he's, along with a lot of other players, he's enabled us to go and win all these trophies that we have, so that one's also an easy one, really.
True. Right back?
Trent.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, another notable mention, obviously, is Stevie Finnan, who was, if Jordan Henderson was criminally underrated, I think Stevie Finnan was. He was just Mr. Dependable, 7 out of 10 every game. Delivery was really underrated. He was at Manchester City, and he was boss. But Trent has just transformed the whole position, and he's made us into what we are as an attacking force. So, yeah, that's another easy one for me.
It's mad, isn't it, the full-back position, Mick? Because, you know, when we were growing up, the full-back was, you know, a Rob Jones or a Jason McAteer who would get forward, you know, the odd time. You know, Bjarnaby had a great left foot whipping in balls and stuff like that. But I think, like, the way the game has changed over the years now is the generation that are looking at that are growing up now, idolising the likes of Messi and Ronaldo and all that sort of stuff. And Trent growing up was idolising Gerrard and Torres and those types of people. And as the game grows, there's a lot more skill involved in the game. And that's where, you know, kids on the field now want to be those superstar names. And do you think, like, the way Trent's been, he's been influenced by that, hasn't he? Because, like Carragher famously said, nobody wants to grow up and be a Gary Neville. But Trent's got all these attributes to be a world-class midfielder or a world-class, you know, forward on the right-hand side. You know, he probably could play striker anyway, but the way that he's been moulded as a player growing up has now just completely changed that full-back position, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's just testament to him and Robbo have just been, it's been great to have them both in the same team. And obviously, the big mates off the pitch as well, they push each other on to try and beat each other assist-wise. Obviously, that's why they've been picking up those numbers that they have been in a couple of years, which has been out of this world in terms of assists, like, and just how good they are. Like, they have transformed the position, and you can, when you like listen to interviews with like younger players, like younger fullbacks, they all say they want to be a Trent or a Robbo. Like, they've made that position into a favourable position, and not like it used to be, like a Gary Neville or obviously Ashley Cole or whatever, who were boss all rounders, but attacking wise was always a secondary. It was always solid at the back, solid defending, don't give anyone an inch. and if you're good going forward, it's a bonus. Whereas now, it's kind of the reverse. You've got to be all rounder. You've got to be more of an athlete to play in that position. Mm. Like, you can, a good interview we've seen recently is the Rio one that he's done with Rio Ferdinand with Robbo and Trent, and he was just saying like how Gary Neville wouldn't go over certain sections of the pitch if they were attacking, he'd stay back and analysing the Trent and Robbo in comparison to that, and they're just flying forward, and it's just like the game's completely different, and I think because of the fullback situation that's made it like that.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Right, centre back pairings. Do we need to ask who your first one is? I think we know who it is, don't we?
Who did Matt go for? Van Dijk and Carrick?
I'll go second.
I mean, it's Van Dijk's the easiest name. That was the first name in the team sheet for me. That's obviously apart from Stevie G. Obviously, you know who's going to be in as well.
But, spoiler alert. In terms of...
But like Van Dijk, he's just an absolute freak of nature. He's just great at everything. Like, you can play any position and be good at it. That's the biggest compliment you can pay him. You can play up front and he'd bang in 15 goals a season. Yeah. He's just an absolute freak of nature. He's just amazing, and we're so lucky to have him.
And Carrick is your the partner in midfield. In the centre back, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to see Carrick and CM again. Fuck that.
he scores goals as central midfielder, doesn't he? his Anfield debut. Yeah, mate. Again, it's the back five sort of just picks itself, doesn't it? Yeah. At the end of the day, there's so many ways you can flip the coin for Carrick and Ippy, especially for people of our age. And Ian Thompson has just said the exact same thing in the comments. There is. His centre-back pairing was Van Dijk and Hippier. You know, there's no Carragher there. So, Ian, put in the comments now, mate, why you've picked Hippier over Carragher. Obviously, we've had two out of the three of us so far that have picked Carragher over Hippier. So, interesting to see your thoughts on why you've picked Hippier over Carragher. Robinson, Mascherano, Gerrard, Alonso, Salah, Suarez and Torres. Oof, a formidable team, that, Ian. It really is. Mick, have we gone 4-4-2? Have we gone 4-3-3? Have we gone 4-1-2-1-2? 72, 82, what we're doing?
Going for a cheeky 4-2-4.
Oh, I knew he'd do that. He's
doing it, Yaya Touré.
Okay, technically it's a 4-2-1-3. But
go on then. Who's the two?
Certain names you can't leave out, obviously. But the two CMs I've gone for is Gerrard and Alonso. DVG requires no explanation. Xabi Alonso was just one of the best footy players I've ever seen in terms of passing the ball and dictating the game. And they played alongside each other and they were big mates. So leadership-wise and as a partnership, they loved playing alongside each other. And that chemistry would just be... You just wish you could have it now in this team. I mean, we've got a great midfield now, but imagine those two available in a Jurgen Klopp team. It would just be absolutely frightening, wouldn't it?
Can I try and guess your one?
The one ahead of the team?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on then.
Is this a behind the striker sort of role?
Yeah.
You haven't gone Phil, have you?
No.
Okay, I was confused.
How do we get rid of Matt out of this stream for Phil, coming up with Phil like that?
Phil who?
Phil who?
No, I've gone for Luis Suarez.
Fair play.
Just because... If I had to pick, if I was picking with me, like you said, Matt, if you were picking with your head, you've got to try and get Suarez in this team. Like he was literally, he carried us when he was at the club. He was just terrific. Obviously, but now that he's left and there's a bit of a sourness towards him, that old Barcelona thing, like celebrating in front of Robbo and all that, and being a little bastard like he is. But at the time, he was our bastard, so we loved him. But you can't leave it out. Like he could play, he's another player. He could play anywhere. He just wears his heart on his sleeve, and he was just the, like Gerrard said, he was the best he's ever seen. So that says a lot. If Gerrard's saying that, then he was clearly an absolute genius.
Mm, yeah, it's a good shot, mate. Right, come on then, Strike Force. Who is it?
So
what have we got?
So front three. I've got Mo Salah on the right. I've got.
Again, you can't argue, can you?
Got Torres on the left. Ooh. And I've got God number 9 up top. just a map like to, like for me, like Salah's obviously a right winger anyway, so that he fits there perfectly. Torres, obviously a striker, but he used to drift out left quite a lot. So I wish he'd stop drinking from that cup, Matt. It's so distracting.
Yeah, it's banned. It's banned from now on.
Yeah. He's part of the podcast.
Yeah, anyway, Torres on the left because he used to drift that side anyway, and speed wise, and he was just a great all rounder. And from that side, he can cut in and score. He scored loads of his goals from going out left. And then big Robbie up front. Easy.
Yeah, I like it, mate. I like that forward line. Like you said, you can't argue with anything. I think it's great that you've fitted Suarez in there at some point as well. With the two midfield, you did a Klopp, mate. You know, Klopp played two midfield the other day, so it really don't matter, does it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But like works. I said, it's with this 11. Have you gone with? Because obviously, again, like Matt said, you decide an 11 with your heart or your head. Are you going off with what these players mean to you and what the memories that they gave you, or are you thinking strictly, if I was the manager, this is what I pick?
I think I'm going more tactical, because I think if I was going with my heart, I would have picked probably Henderson ahead of Suarez, and the same as Martin, do like a midfield three. But I just think creativity-wise, having Suarez in there would just be, imagine the havoc, like Suarez, Salah, Torres and Fowler, and then Alonso and Gerrard passing balls through to them. Be absolute carnage.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. I mean, there's goals in the team completely. I just want to touch on, obviously, your team, Mick, because it's interesting to see what Ian thought about the Hippier thing. He said Hippier was solid and no one red headers, and how many corners would we score to? It's a really good point. You know, from an attacking perspective, Hippier would definitely be more attacking than Jamie Carragher. But also in your team, Mick, you've got Van Dijk to do the attacking there with them headers anyway, haven't you? So Carragher will do the last-ditch stuff. But again, Ian's put, I think the hardest decision isn't the Torres question. For me, it's between Salah and Mane, because Salah brings the goals, but Mane does so much more for the team. So with that, Mick, obviously choosing Salah over Mane, is it obviously because the way Salah's been over the past few years? Obviously, Mane's been here 12 months longer than Salah, but he hasn't obviously scored as many goals as Salah. So was it just a case, because obviously everyone knows, you watching the podcast, you are a massive Mo Salah fan. Is that just it? No one's getting ahead of him type thing?
I think so. Like it was either Salah or Mane, and for me, I always go Salah just because he's just, and it's difficult to leave Mane because he's an absolute genius as well. But scoring goals, Mo Salah's just a goal machine, and him in this team is just he would absolutely get it's scary how many he'd score in a team like that. He'd get an absolute hatful.
Why Torres over Mane?
Only cause just I think maybe he's creeped in just through the heart, not the head on that one. Maybe
I was just about to say it.
Yeah, I think just because he was a complete goal scorer, and I think, yeah, I know it's difficult. I could have picked either, but I just thought Torres would just be great over that side. Obviously, in midfield was Gerrard and Alonso. They play alongside each other as well, so that chemistry would already be there.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, mate. I love the side. I really do. I think if you put it up against any Premier League team, past or present, it'd win trophies, it'd win titles. So, yeah. Matt, I didn't ask you who your captain would be in your side, but I don't really have to ask, do I, really?
Stevie.
Just for the record, again, Stevie, Mick, I don't suppose yours is any different.
Yeah, Stevie. It's easy. Easy one.
Okay. Right, well, we'll whiz through mine, boys, because it's not too dissimilar to what you boys have put anyway. So for me, it's Alisson in goal. It's Trent at the full-back position, Robertson at full-back, and I've gone for Van Dijk and I've gone for Carragher. Tol, I'm really sorry, mate. I did flip the coin with Hippier, but I think I just love Jamie Carragher too much. And the one thing I do miss about Carragher not being on the pitch, especially because there's no crowd noise, is his screaming. I absolutely miss that. I just miss that back line and listening to him scream. But yeah, for me, Carragher is one of the greatest ever defenders we've ever had. So he's got to go in there with Virg. Now, my midfield three. Well, to be fair, the whole team has been picked on my heart based on the memories that these players have given me. So my midfield three is Gerrard, obviously, Alonso for obvious reasons. But the third one, I was going to go Hendo just because of what he's done over the past couple of years. And obviously, he's lifted the Premier League trophy. So if I'm going to do a head, 11, Henderson gets the nod. But in my heart, based on me growing up and enjoying my football and being a left-footed player and becoming a bit of a hero for me, it's Patrick Berger. He gets another slot in midfield alongside Gerrard and Alonso. And I feel shit on Henderson there with my heart, but if I'm picking for leaders and stuff like that, Gerrard can do that job anyway. And I'm sure he's hard enough to lift up trophies anyway, because we've seen it. But yeah, if I'm going with my heart, it's got to be Patrick Berger, just because of the memories that man gave me. And I absolutely loved it when he signed for us. So I'm going a bit controversial there. My forward line's a little bit controversial as well, based on I'm going stuff off my heart. So you can probably guess who my front three are. But definitely Mo Salah gets the nod, obviously, recent history. God, my all-time favourite player. No one will ever take Robbie Fowler's mantle for me as being the greatest player I've ever seen. Privileged to meet him once, hopefully again, because he's going to come on the podcast eventually. Fingers crossed, he might be watching. I'll go over to India and do it, not a problem. And then my final person is Michael Owen, and I'll probably get absolutely slaughtered for that. But the memories that gave me, I'm 16 years of age and I'm with the, you know, my mates, and I'm watching Michael Owen turn the FA Cup final on his head, and it was one of the first times I'd cried at a football match because I just didn't think we'd win the cup, and we ended up winning it. And the lad gave me so many memories growing up as a kid. And yeah, I'm just one of them people that will always be in the Michael Owen camp. If he did so much for the club, it's unfair. We covered this the other day, obviously, but I mean, at the end of the day, it was again between Michael Owen, Suarez and Torres. And again, if I'd gone with me head, I probably would have put Luis Suarez in, because the man was just a genius. I mean, for us to get Luis Suarez when he played for us in a shit team, and then obviously we had the last great year out of him, it was such a privilege to watch him. You know, to say my son's, you know, 2 years of age, nearly three, and he's going to, hopefully he'll grow up like in football, and I'll be able to say to him, I watched that man play live. You know what I mean? Same thing when I say to young guys, oh, I've watched Ronaldinho, and people go, who? Like, it's fucking Ronaldinho. Suarez is in the same ilk as that. Luis Suarez is a fucking fantastic player. But I'm going with my heart in terms of the stuff that the memories that were made for me. So yeah, so I'm going with Owen, Fowler and Salah up front. So plenty of goals. But at the end of the day, I could take two out of there, put him in midfield. As long as I keep God up front, I'll be happy. So anyway, let's move on.
But like, he won a Ballon d'Or at Liverpool, so I could sort of accept it.
Yeah, there we go, mate. I mean, you know, people that are watching now, you might want to give me some shit. That's absolutely fine. But what that debate that we did on Friday night, that was quite interesting. And yeah, here we go again. I'm used to getting shit on this show anyway. It's absolutely fine. So here we go then, boys. The difficult question was, are we going to be able to pick a non-Liverpool Premier League 11? Now, I know you boys threw this in the WhatsApp group the other day. I was thinking, fuck me, how am I going to do this? Well, it was a bit of a fucking shitstorm for me because I couldn't really do it. So I'm going to go last again. But Mick, you're going to go first. And I think it's up to you, boys. Do you want to do this where we pick your 11, then we pick your 11, or do you want to do it position by position? Should we flip it up?
Do position by position. So
let's do position by position.
So let's do.
I think it'd be more interesting this way anyway for Premier League 11s, because obviously this is going to differ massively. So let's go for it then, Mick. Who is your greatest ever Premier League goalkeeper?
Well, formations.
No, fuck that. Don't matter. We'll do that in a minute.
Yeah. Mine's different.
Oh, cool. That's fine. To be fair, that's fine. Okay, go on then. Mick, what's your formation first?
4-3-3.
Matt, what's your formation?
3-5-2.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
No fullbacks?
No fullbacks.
Ooh, controversial.
Yep.
Very controversial. I went for 4-3-3 as well. But Mick, right, let's go for it. Goalkeeper.
Oh, I had difficulty with this one. I think I changed it like three times, but then I just thought, if I pick with me head and not obviously use me Liverpool roots as to not pick a Man United player, it has to be Peter Schmeichel for me. I mean, I had a bit of, yeah. I was toying between him and Petr Cech, but I just thought Schmeichel was just, he was just class, wasn't he? And you can't deny that, really. So he creeps in for me.
Absolutely. I think, again, it's going to be a bit of an age thing, isn't it, depending on who you pick. So, Matt, who's your goalkeeper?
Me, it was a lot easier because I'd never got to see Schmeichel play. I did consider David De Gea because he had a few good... He was the best goalkeeper for a while. but I haven't seen a goalkeeper look like as much of a wall as when I was watching Petr Cech, because that man was just stupidly good.
Yeah, he was, mate.
He still has the league record for clean sheets or something like that. Like, he's just nuts. And it was unfortunate that he got the head injury, because it did look like it scared him a bit coming for corners and stuff like that. But shot stopping, he was just unreal.
He was, mate. Yeah, I don't think you can argue with Petr Cech there, mate, obviously from your generation. For me though, mate, I'm going with Mick here. Peter Schmeichel is mine again, because it's going to be an age thing, isn't it, mate? But the growing up watching Peter Schmeichel and the some of the saves he pulled off was just like, they are the difference between winning league titles, having that last line, and some of the stuff he pulled off was just absolutely incredible. And you know, if we get a goalkeeper who's actually completely world class, and we end up winning a league title, and it's not a coincidence that. So, yeah, two great choices there. It's going to be very difficult. Anybody's watching, obviously, Tom has jumped in there, and he says Peter Schmeichel. Tomo knows his shit. To be fair, boys, he's been a goalkeeper for about 20 odd years, so he's going with Peter Schmeichel. He's our age, though, obviously, so he might be a little bit biased on that one. But right, boys, right back. So, Matthew, let's go to you first. Who's your right back?
Non-existent.
Of course, mate. You're going for three at the back. Of course, sorry, mate. I'm too excited. Mate, go on then. Who's your right back then?
It's got to be Gary Neville, unfortunately. I just thought, just around for what seemed like forever, and he was a great, and you can't really deny that. I mean, it was the when Carragher gives him shit about, like, saying, oh, no one wants to be a Gary Neville at right back, but he genuinely was one of the best the Premier League's ever seen. So that was one of the easiest ones after the pick, really.
Yeah, definitely, mate. I agree with you on there. Gary Neville is my right back as well. So Matt, obviously, if you're going three at the back, who's your best defender?
John Terry.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll cover the John Terry thing in a minute, just in case anybody else has picked him. We might as well go for centre back again then. So Mick, who's your first centre back? We'll go along the line.
I've got two, so I'll do the John Terry first, just so we can cover that, because obviously he goes as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've had to put him in mine as well. I don't think you can argue with the player that he was, with the amount of league titles he'd won, that trophy he'd won for Chelsea. He'd been a one club man, you can't really argue with it. Is that where you were thinking, Matt, with John Terry?
I mean, it was just a wall, wasn't it? Everyone talked about JT being one of the best, and he was one of the best. It's just, despite the fact that he wasn't quick, he was always in the right place, and it was just a massive headache to get by him. And I can't remember players going past him. Surely, of course, the players would have gone past him, but
yeah,
I can't think of moments and be like, John Terry left a mug there. He was just unreal. And I remember specifically him getting frozen out of the Chelsea side when he got older, and then Conte came in and just went, nah, you're playing. And he's just...
Yeah, no, it's absolutely spot on, mate. Mick, so who's the other centre-back for you?
This is where I had loads of difficulty, because I thought JT goes in obviously quite easy, but then there's like Sol Campbell, there's...
Tony Adams.
Tony Adams, Rio Ferdinand, but for me, it's Vincent Kompany.
So if we have a look at Martin's team, he's gone Cech, Neville, Terry and Kompany. So obviously a mixture of the two. Vincent Kompany has obviously been very dominant in the 2010s. Premier League perspective, obviously, with the amount of league battles that he'd won with City. Is that obviously you choosing, mate, because he sort of drove City to the powerhouse that they are?
Yeah, and I just think when he went to City, and that just watching how good he was, I just thought, I always wished that Liverpool had someone like that. And then we finally got Van Dijk, and we had a similar player who's just felt like you can't get past them. Obviously, as he got a bit older, it was a bit easier to do that. And he lost a bit of that pace and a bit of nous in the positional areas. But when he was in his prime, he was just top class.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. I've gone with Vincent Kompany as well. The annoying thing about him, the most, he's such a nice man as well. He's so good at like his charity, he's good in the community and stuff like that. And you can't help but like him. Again, you know, I think he's in the same ilk as Kevin De Bruyne. Before we got Van Dijk, we were like, yeah, I'd definitely take him. Matt, so obviously we'll carry on with your back line. Who else is in that back line?
Vinny Kompany.
There we
go. I can only echo everything that you've said. Along with the fact that he came up clutch for Man City so many times. Like, it just reminds me of Ramos coming up clutch for Madrid. Just when
don't be swearing. Don't be fucking saying that prick's name on here.
He just sort of comes out of nowhere against United, like every time. You could put money on Bruno Company scoring against United. And then in a couple of seasons ago when City won the league, that goal against Leicester, never scored a goal from outside the area in his life. And then as soon as they need it, 35 yards out and smack into the top corner. He was just unreal. And he's married into a United family, which makes it so much better as well, just because he's made...
That is true. An honourable mention for me is because I had a very difficult time picking between Vincent Kompany and Rio Ferdinand. And like Tom just said, Rio's got to be in there as well. I mean, I don't know, Matt, is he your final piece of the puzzle? There we go, mate. So we have got him in there somewhere. It is a difficult one, isn't it, Mick? I mean, at the end of the day, you've got Rio Ferdinand there who played in the Premier League for three different clubs, dominated every team he played under and won countless league titles, and you can't argue with him, can you, with him being in there. Just it's such a difficult decision.
No, he was literally one of the first I'd seen, and he was just great in the air, great defender, all-rounder, pacey, and could also bring the ball out the back and play, and could have been like a midfielder, like a Ledley King type. If Ledley King didn't get so many injuries, he would have been in there.
Yeah.
The best way to describe Ferdinand is if we could mould Joe Gomez and Van Dijk, that would be Rio Ferdinand.
Can I see where you're going with that? He's got this very similar attributes, hasn't he? So I know what you're saying there, mate, absolutely. So if we've, obviously, Matt, we've got your back three now, so obviously we'll just finish off with the left-backs. Mick, I don't know if yours is going to be any different to my left-back. I don't think it is. I've gone with Ashley Cole. I think he's the greatest left-back that the Premier League's seen. You know, winning league titles and FA Cups with two different teams is nothing to be sniffed at from left-back. But I suppose yours is Ashley Cole as well.
Yeah, that was another... That's why I thought I can't go without full-backs, and I just thought the two obvious ones are Neville and Cole, because just of what they did in the Premier League, like the longevity was, and they just seemed like they were around forever. And just in terms of how good they were as players, they obviously the honours that they've won proves that, really. They were just both boss.
Yeah, not including Ashley Cole, or not having a formation that used Ashley Cole was a bit of a struggle. But the standout candidate at right back is Neville, but I didn't see him at his best. And I wanted to squeeze him next attacker, so that's why I just lobbed out the left and right back.
That's fair enough, mate. But we have been blessed with some fullbacks in the Premier League. Lee Dixon was fantastic. Winterburn was great. You know, Azpilicueta has been great in the last 10 years for Chelsea. We've had some great ones with Finnan and Risa. You know, Rob Jones was a great fullback for a few years until unfortunately got injured. You know, speaking from Liverpool's perspective, McAtee was great for us. McAtee was even better in like the 3-5-2 formation that Roy Evans played quite often. But any other Premier League fullbacks you boys can mention that are honourable mentions? Anybody in the comments? Got Lee Dixon there, obviously.
Lee Dixon. There was Lauren for Arsenal. He was great as well, right back.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
That's pretty
so again, it's from it, that's it, mate. I think that the names that you mentioned there from the top clubs are the ones that dominated for a long, long time. I always liked Ian Hart at Leeds. I always did like him as a fullback. He was really good at free kicks, and I really enjoyed watching him play. He was really good. So, but moving on, so we're coming to the midfield now. So Matt, we're gonna go with your midfield now. So I take it because you've picked five across the back, your two wingers, and are they going to be tracking back helping?
One is.
Okay, who is it?
Gareth Bale.
Okay.
Again, this is an age thing, but as Gareth Bale in his peak Premier League years was like when I was serious about football now, and he was at times unplayable. And when I think of what he could do coming in off that right wing, it was just ridiculous. And also playing when he first started moving from left back to left mid, he was also unreal. So I couldn't think of any wingers that could challenge him that I've seen that aren't, you know, Salah or Mane.
Okay. And is Bale playing on the left or is he playing on the right and cutting into the left? Where's he playing?
Playing on the right.
Playing on the right?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll continue with the right wing then. So Nick, who's your right winger?
Because I've got three centre mids and then three attackers. So should, what do you want the right winger or do you want the mid?
Just do one in midfield, then, mate. Just do one in mid.
So see the M, I've gone Paddy Vieira. That was probably the easiest one of the easiest ones as well. Just an absolute beast. Then obviously the amount of battles he had with obviously the likes of Roy Keane and Gerrard back in the day was just a joy to watch, really. He was just one of them players that was another one. He was just good at everything. Like fast score goals, boss creator, an absolute monster, tall, could win headers, tackles, just an engine. He could do everything, and he was just rightly one of the best that the Prem's ever seen.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue Patrick Vieira, mate. He's in my midfield as well. Matt, who is who's your next midfielder?
Frank Lampard. Okay. I think he's, and you look at the top 10 goal scorers in Premier League history, he's the only midfielder there. The man could just, if it was, I could include everyone, I'd have Gerrard over Lampard, but I can't leave out Frank Lampard from an all-time Premier League 11.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair enough, mate. Absolutely fair enough. Mick, do you want to give us your second player in midfield?
Lampard as well. Just, yeah, that's an easy one. Just the amount of goals he scored. Just a great midfielder, a great goal scoring midfielder. Obviously, when we talk about maybe Lampard versus Gerrard, I think Gerrard was a bit better all rounder, but Lampard, in terms of getting into the box and getting. Yeah. Sneaking into areas where he couldn't be marked, he was like a striker in a way. So for me, he's got to go in there because he's definitely one of the best as well.
Yeah. Okay. So Matt, who's your third midfielder?
This one might get a bit of shit for this one actually, but again, this comes down to the age thing. For me, it's N'Golo Kanté, just because he was the key to Leicester winning the league.
Yeah.
Take that man out of Leicester like we saw the year after. And
yeah,
they just weren't themselves. And apart from the fact that he was at Leicester, won the Premier League, and I think he's the only player to move club and have that club win the league. Mm. And you saw where Chelsea were that season. I think they were finished like 7th or 8th. And he was the only real addition to that team. And then all of a sudden, they're winning the league. So I can't not have N'Golo Kanté. And just system-wise, I think, he'd pair well with Lampard because he'd do all his running.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, mate. That does make sense. So you got three midfielders so far. Mick, your final person midfield?
So yeah, difficulty with this one as well because I was thinking maybe David Silva or Kante or Roy Keane or Kevin De Bruyne, but I just thought Paul Scholes was just absolutely tremendous, wasn't he? Like, you've just got to take your Liverpool hat off and just think how good he was. He was just an absolute beast. Like, his passing was just up there with the best that you'll ever see. So yeah, for me, he creeps in ahead of the likes of the ones I've just mentioned, unfortunately.
Yes, well, that's a midfield of Vieira, Lampard and Scholes for you. So and you've got goals, you've got running, you've got defensive capabilities, you've got it all in that midfield. You really have. So far we've got Bale, we've got Lampard, and who else?
We've got Kante.
Kante.
So I've got a winger and a cam.
Right, so go on then. Who's the winger? Who's the other winger?
Cristiano.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah. He didn't hit the heights at United that he hit at Madrid. So I'm aware that he turned into a better player at Real Madrid. But he was still unplayable in the Premier League, especially when I was watching, when I started watching football, that he was the one player that I was terrified of. I thought Liverpool could handle the likes of Rooney. I thought Liverpool could handle the likes of Berbatov and Tevez. But seeing that man cut inside from the left wing, more often than not, it just arrowed into the top corner. And even though I've never seen this with a player, that even though he missed a lot of free kicks, if he got a free kick, you were terrified. You were because you, if he doesn't miss this, our keeper hasn't got a chance. It had to be Ronaldo.
No, again, mate, you can't argue with Ronaldo going in there. Mick, I mean, Skelly's done the same thing. He's put Ronaldo in there. I think not by. I mean, you must have debated throwing Ronaldo in there, mustn't you?
Well, he's in mine on the right. He's got, like...
I meant from a midfield perspective. Do you know what I mean? If you from that, it's if you depend on the formation that you're doing, it's you think right. Well, he did play midfield, but like I say, it's you can understand where people are coming from and putting him in, can't you?
Yeah. He was just one of them. It was just that he came to the Premier League and wasn't great at first, but obviously he was all tricks and flicks, and then he's turned into this absolute beast. He on his day, you couldn't. There's nothing you could do. You just have to double up on him. He'd still beat both of you. It's just he's one of the best, definitely. And obviously, like Matt said, he went on to play his best footy at Madrid, but in the league, in Premier League, he was still great as well.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Can't argue with that one at all. My midfield is, again, it's very similar. I've gone 4-3-3. I've gone Ronaldo, Vieira and Ryan Giggs. Just for the sheer quality of Ryan Giggs on that left-hand side and how good he was and the time that he played, the amount of trophies that he won with Man United, I couldn't argue with anybody else on the left-hand side rather than Ryan Giggs. So, yeah, mine was Vieira, Ronaldo and Giggs. And it's simply because of the forward line that I've picked because I've got a player sat in front of them, sat behind the forwards. I did want to put Lampard in there. I did. It's just a very difficult decision. But when you see the three that I've gone for, up front, you'll know what I'm talking about. Right, Matt. So who's the other person who's just sat in front of him?
Sitting in front of them and behind the strikers is KDB, because that man is. I wish he played for Liverpool. he does ridiculous things. His passing is. I think Trent's one of the best passers in the world. But if I'm going to pip anyone over Trent, it's De Bruyne. He's got that quality. Even though the pass isn't on because there's three players in the way, he'll still pull it off and he'll look effortless doing it. He's the player that you want to give the ball when a defence is being stubborn because he'll unlock it. No questions asked, he'll do it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Mick, I think if we did this again after Kevin De Bruyne is finished, I think he well and truly gets a place, doesn't he, over a few others, maybe. He certainly gives it a rethink, doesn't he?
Yeah, like I said, he was in contention for mine, but I just thought, go for the old guard, the fellas who've been there, and obviously we can look back on them now and see how good they were. But, yeah, maybe in a couple of years, definitely De Bruyne will be in there because he's probably going to break some records in terms of assists and stuff because he is just an absolute, like Van Dijk's a bit of a freak of nature. I think so was De Bruyne, to be honest. And I like that. I like his story as well, the way he went away and then came back a bit like a Mo Salah and came back to the league with a point to prove. And they've both gone on to be one of the best, both of the best in the world in their positions for me. So it's for him to do that. It's up balls and he came back and did it. So and the fact that he's the way he's done it, it's just boss. What a player.
Yeah, absolutely. Man. I think everyone would echo that as well, wouldn't they? So now we get to the juicy part in terms of where the goals are going to come from as well. So, Matt, you've gone for two up from there?
Two up top, yeah.
So who's the first one?
Didier Drogba.
Drogba.
Player, what a machine. And I think he just scored against Liverpool for fun as well, which just makes it so much. He was... I loved him. When he wasn't playing against Liverpool, he was amazing. And he carried Chelsea to a Champions League as well, like single-handedly carried Chelsea to a Champions League on his back. Just amazing player. And on his day, you aren't doing anything about it.
Yeah. No, it's a good point, mate. You can't argue with Drogba being thrown in there, can you, Mick?
Definitely not. He was just, every time we played at Chelsea, it was Carragher was at his best then as well. And Carragher did get the better of him quite a few times, to be honest. But there was times where I remember a goal. I think it was at Stamford Bridge where he just turned Carragher and just volleyed the bottom corner from like what felt like miles out. And it's just like you just have to like applaud and just say what a player. Like he was just a battering ram. Just one of them players that you when he's on his game you can't defend it. Like a Cristiano Ronaldo, if he's on his A game, there's nothing you can do. I'm afraid you're just gonna have to accept it that he's just. In that type of form, and you're just gonna have to sit back and go, fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So Mick, obviously you've mentioned before that one of the players on the right hand side was Cristiano Ronaldo. Again, just one of them things. He's in, isn't he? He's Ronaldo.
Yeah, he's one of the best. Yeah, just that was an easy one. But
just on that though, Just on the Ronaldo thing before we move on, he scored obviously the other day, didn't he? And he went ahead of Puskas in terms of goals ever, the amount of goals that anybody's ever scored. And I think I can't remember the player who's number one who scored the most goals ever. I think it was Baykan or Biskan or something like that. Not Igor Biskan, for those that are watching. he's got like 780 recorded goals, ones that were actually recorded. And I think Ronaldo's only about 15 or 20 behind. I think Ronaldo we can safely say he will beat that, and he will become the greatest goal scorer of all time. He will move above Pele because, you know, Pele, and I know Pele counted goals against the kitchen staff, and he counted goals against, you know, the kids in school playgrounds and stuff like that. But Ronaldo will go down as arguably the greatest ever goal scorer and the greatest player of all time. And that is no mean feat, and that player will still be playing in his 40s, just like his last. You know what I mean? He's just unbelievable. So, Matt, who is your other? In fact, I tell you what we'll do. We'll just go for my player behind the two strikers. I've gone for Dennis Bergkamp, just for an extra creativity point of view. I thought Dennis Bergkamp was just an absolute genius and absolute pleasure to watch. So, for me, Dennis Bergkamp goes in there as well. Matt, who's your other striker?
Again, my lifetime, I don't think there's been a better striker. In the Premier League, so it has to be Sergio Aguero. Has to be.
Sergio Aguero. Okay. Sergio Aguero, again, City's all-time top goal scorer.
Yeah, and I think, I can't believe that I'm having to use this word to describe someone as good as Aguero, but underrated. The fact that, I'm not sure if he made it last year, but if he did, he hasn't been in a Premier League team of the season. How has he not been in a Premier League team of the season?
Didn't know that.
He's mental. He's amazing, and he always scores. Yes, he's got his injury issues now, but that just for that Aguero moment when he won them the league in like extra time and made United players cry, that was brilliant.
Fucking hell, lad. Oh, right, well, Sergio Aguero, Mick, you can't argue with Aguero in there, can you? I think a lot of people, like I said, we've been very blessed with the strikes in the Premier League. But mate, you've gone for 4-3-3. I mean, you got Ronaldo on the right hand side, did you say? So, do you want to pick your left hand player then? Do you want to throw him in there? Who is it?
It's like I've been saying, this is the easiest one, but this was the easiest one, Thierry Henry. For me, he's my. I just grew up idolising him. I know he played for Arsenal, but he was just like when you play footy on like at school and that, and you'd always like scream Gerrard when you had a shot. I'd always say Henry. Even though I shouldn't have, I'm a massive Liverpool fan, obviously, but when you just watch him play, he made it look easy. And that extra, it looked like, it's like a Van Dijk where he's got pace, but he wouldn't use it. And then the next minute, he'd turn his afterburners on and he'd be gone. And it's like, it was literally like a year 11 against the year 7 in school. It's like they're taking it easy, and then next minute, they're just going to go, nah, I'm going to score now. And that's how he made it look. It was like men against kids. And he was just one of the best goal scorers you'll see them on. Like, if you look at YouTube compilations, the amount of variations of goals he scored, like little flicks or belters from against Man United, where he flicks it in and hits it on the volley and it goes top corner. Just goals that you just think that is just an absolute genius. And he was just, he's probably my non-LFC favourite player of all time, to be honest. So that he went in easily there for me.
I'd agree with that non-LFC player thing. The only reason I didn't pick Henry is because he was at Barca when I really got into football. But I'd have him in mind if it wasn't who I've seen.
Yeah, true. Mick, I'm going to agree with you there. Henry is one of my strikers as well. Can't argue with him there. So it's one of those where you're not going to argue with it. So Mick, who is the final piece of your jigsaw?
It's hard to look past Alan Shearer, isn't it, really? I mean, there's so many names like Aguero and there's Drogba and just absolute beasts that we've had the pleasure to watch, but the all-time leading goal scorer is an easy one, really. He was just a complete beast, and it is a shame that he didn't win more things. That's the only thing. I mean, that's why you see a lot of things about Harry Kane. He needs to leave so he can make his name more resounding in terms of world football, of how good he is because of the things he's won. I don't think Shearer got that credit, but the amount of goals he scored, like, it's always, when you look at the amount of goals scored, it's always everyone's done it quicker apart from He's done it quicker than everyone apart from Alan Shearer, just because.
Yeah, of course.
How fast he scored the goals, and obviously Mo Salah's kind of that comparable now, where when you see goal scoring records, like everyone's done it. He's done this quick, but Salah done it quicker. It's literally that with Shearer as well, because just a bit of a freak of nature, just boss at everything. Obviously done really well with England as well, didn't win anything, but like he was our leader and captain for England. Obviously back then was a bit younger. I used to watch England a bit more than I do now, so I appreciated that a bit more. But he was just a beast, and it would have been great to see him go to a bigger club and maybe get some more silverware as well. Which is that's the only shame, really.
Yeah, exactly. Again, mate, Alan Shearer goes straight up top with Henry for me as well. So I'm not gonna argue too much about that. Let's go into the comments then. Let's have a look at some of the just let you know, Mr. Black, 2115 thoughts on Bergkamp. I've actually put Bergkamp in my team. Bergkamp is playing behind Henry and Shearer. So yeah, absolutely, Dennis Bergkamp definitely goes in my team. He could be up there with Aguero. So a lot of people that underrate him in terms of the, because he didn't score as many goals, but my God, he was the one player in Arsenal's team that made goals. You know what I mean? From that final third position, he was absolutely incredible. Martin Barton says, I think you're doing an all-time Premier League, the all-time Premier League scorer, Alan Shearer has to go in. Absolutely. So let's get into some of the people, the comments. So Tomo's done a 4-3-3. So he's gone for Peter Schmeichel, Laura and John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole, Fiera, Scholes and Lampard. So obviously it's the same midfield as you. And then Ronaldo, Henry and Shearer. I assume that's Henry and not Colin Hendry. You throw up a curveball there, Tom, by putting Colin Hendry up front. I assume it's Thierry Henry. But that's by one position, mate. That's your team, isn't it? By one position. Am I right, Mick? That's your team, isn't it?
So see? I had Gary Neville,
Company. Yeah, company changed as well. Yeah, pretty much. Spot on there. Yeah, he's done another one as well, but from a different formation. So he's gone Peter Schmeichel again, Lee Dixon, because I can't have Gary Neville, John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, Ashley Cole. Yeah, David Beckham, it's someone we haven't spoken about yet. David Beckham, absolutely. Vieira goals. Mark Overmars as well, unbelievable player. Alan Shearer and Wayne Rooney again, throwing in a few curveballs.
Perez that as well, like Perez and Lundberg and stuff like that.
That
Arsenal team were just full of stars, weren't they? So
it's absolutely. David Beckham. He's a player I thought about putting in at one point. You know, because I thought if I'm going to go 4-4-2, then David Beckham is a shout to be straight in there. But again. Yeah, do you put David Beckham or do you put Cristiano Ronaldo in? You put Gareth Bale in on the right hand side, and you just think, it's pretty nuts.
Really struggled not to include.
Hey,
is there anyone that you guys really struggle not to include?
Well, yeah, I mean, I struggled not to put David Beckham in for obvious reasons that we've just said. Wayne Rooney again, you know, he's been absolutely fantastic. But again, I'm just going off. You know, I even debated when they did 4-3-3 about putting Eric Cantona in there, but you know, at the end of the day. If you're looking at the contributions overall and the longevity, that's what I've gone for, is longevity of these players. You can buy longevity plus the goals or whatever they provided. So that's why Ronaldo's in there, albeit, yeah, he'll play for United from 03 to 09. But his contributions from goals and all that stuff, they really did elevate Man United. And he's one of the reasons why they did the Champions League and Premier League double in 08 because of his goals. And I'm the only one who picked Ryan Giggs. I haven't seen Ryan Giggs in the comments a lot, but Martin Barton's put Petacek, Neville, Terry, Company, Ashley Cole, he's Beckham in there, Roy Keane, Vieira, Ronaldo, Henry, and Shearer as well. Go on, Matt, sorry.
I'm surprised that none of us have mentioned, well, he's in my honourable mentions, but none of us have talked about Yaya Toure. Just because...
Yeah.
When he dipped hard. But when he was at his proper flow with Man City, I don't think I've seen a more dominant. I didn't get to see Patrick Vieira, to be fair, but I don't think I've seen a more dominant midfielder than Yaya in his peak.
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. It's Yaya Toure. Cool. Again, he was a player when he was playing. You think, oh, for fuck's sake! And again, I think if you go from 2014, especially, definitely the reason why City had won the league because of 2014, definitely because of. Yeah, it's all right. Tomo's just thrown another name in there. What about Ruud van Nistelrooy? Again, You know, the Dutch Gary Lineker, wasn't he? Scored so many goals inside that area. What a player. It was a bit unfair that he wasn't at United a little bit longer. But obviously, you don't fall out with figure that you're not getting out. You know, you're not playing. But Mick Van Nistelrooy, fucking great player.
Yeah, another one, like one of the best. And there's so many, like, we haven't touched on. Obviously, they like Andy Cole and Dwight York. Obviously, they've forged the boss relationship and done so well together. There's just, like, that whole United team throughout that era. And obviously, then the Arsenal team have done so well as well. You could have 80% of their players in it. Like, that's the thing. There's so many options, but just trying to fit them all in terms of who was that stood out for you. So I think Nistelrooy just misses out for me just because you're putting up against Cristiano Ronaldo, Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry. I don't think he's, in terms of having an impact. Obviously, I'd scored a shitload of goals in my team, but just for how, when I watched those players that I put in mind, they were just absolutely unplayable.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Harry Kane.
Yeah, I think he's a bit overrated, to be fair, but his goal scoring is unquestionable.
I think your Premier League, your all-time Premier League even still includes players that are still playing. I know Mr. Black's done the same thing here. And obviously, Mr. Black's still watching. Take out the Liverpool players and put non-Liverpool players in there as your all-time Premier League, and then we'll put it back up. Because we did have Liverpool 11s and we've done our non-Liverpool Premier League. So do it again, mate, but let's have a look at... But it's an interesting team, that, though. Check Trent, yeah, absolutely. Robertson changed the full-back positions, definitely. Gerrard, Lampard and Keane, that's a juicy midfield. I love that. And Henry, Ronaldo and Suarez. Oh, yeah, that is a really, really good team there. Love that forward line of Henry, Ronaldo and Suarez. Absolutely. But I think, Matt, what you're saying there about Harry Kane, I think once Harry Kane finishes and we see his final goal tally, and everyone's saying about Harry Kane could be the man to take over the 260 that Alan Shearer scored, we would definitely do it again. And you couldn't argue, because it's like Martin Barton said before, Shearer played for Newcastle for many years, a team who didn't always create a lot. Absolutely spot on, and they hardly won anything, or they didn't win anything at the end of the day. But Harry Kane, if he stays at Tottenham and they don't win anything, but he scores all them goals, Harry Kane will be up there with Alan Shearer, and it'll be arguing, do we put a 4-4-2, and is it Kane and Shearer because of the top two Premier League all-time goals? So it's one of them, isn't it? That's cool, Mr. Black. That's fine, mate. So it doesn't matter. You crack on. Do another one for us. Or do both, it's up to you. But yeah, Mick, you can't argue with the Harry Kane conundrum, can you? I'm sure when we did this, when Harry Kane does finish, the choice will be there for Harry Kane. Will he get there ahead of Henry? It's one of them.
Yeah, well, I think he's, when he first broke through, I don't think anyone would give him a hope of beating that record. But if anyone's going to be within even a shout of doing it in our lifetime, I think it's going to be him, because he's just a goal machine. Obviously, I think he's added a bit more creativity to this. Obviously, he's been creative pretty much the last couple of years, but this season he's got loads of assists as well, which he's added to his game, which is quite good in terms of when he gets a bit older as well. He can drop into that 10 position, or maybe just in front of the midfield and play that, because his passing is up there with the best as well for me, Harry Kane. So he's bossing. He's gonna score shitloads more goals for Spurs, definitely.
Thing is, I don't think unless he leaves Spurs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a good point. Matt, if say we take out Aguero, De Bruyne and Kante out of your team, who would you replace them with? Because obviously they're obviously still playing, but who would you replace them with?
It would either be a toss up between Yaya and Essien, funnily enough. Yeah, and I know Essien didn't have as many years at a high level because he got an injury and he also dipped as well. But what I remember of Michael Essien at his peak was just unplayable every game. Like, he ran the show. He's just a powerhouse, like I'd say for Touré. Who else for taking out KDB? Yaya. Just... Why not? And then if we're taking out Aguero, what's the rules? He has to be retired. He can't be playing at the moment.
Yeah.
Then you know what? I'd have to go Henry, even though I didn't see him at Arsenal, just because of what he did at Barca and what he did before.
Yeah, No, fair enough, mate. Good choices there. Mr. Black's come back with his team. Czech, Zabaleta. Good shout. Honourable mention there for Zabaleta. Great fullback. John Terry, Fernand, Ashley Cole. Stephen Gerrard's still in there, mate. So just chuck in the other name there who's going to join that midfield instead of Gerrard. Lampard, Keane, Henry, Ronaldo, and Aguero. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great side. But let's have a look. So Mr. Black still watching. Take out Gerrard, put in, and we'll try and guess who that's going to be. I'm going to predict he's going to put in Vieira. Mick, who you think he's going to put in instead of Gerrard?
I think it's got to be. If he's picking Keane, it's got to be Vieira, I think, for me.
Yeah. Oh, he's agreed with you there, Matt, about SEN being there. Oh, he's picked Scholes. He's picked Goalsy. He's picked Scholes. Again, good shout, mate. Mick, he's obviously joined you in that with Scholesy. Again, you can't. But yeah, Mr. Black, you're absolutely spot on, mate. Shows how much we love the fella, mate, honestly. You do a Will 11, Steven Gerrard gets in. You do the shittest Liverpool 11, Steven Gerrard gets in. You just get him in every fucking team. It really doesn't matter. Tomo, as just said, no one's mentioned Ouar Cantona. Well, to be fair, mate, I did about Cantona. But he had a good few years at Man United, and Gary Neville had said that the reason why United went from being nearly there to there and winning the league was because of Eric Cantona. And he actually did a bit of a Kante. Matt, obviously you said that Kante was the only player to move from club to club in the Premier League back to back. That's absolutely true. But Cantona did won the league with Leeds when it was the old first division. Moved to United, first Premier League season, and obviously they win the league. So Cantona, yeah, just what a player. Put the controversy aside, Mick. Obviously, because we grew up watching him and being a pain in the ass for especially against us. Cantona is just one of the greatest players ever to play in Premier League, isn't he?
Yeah, I was just thinking that was it the chip against was it Sunderland where he's just
stood there and was like,
"I'm absolutely yeah." Boss. But I think it's the off. Like, obviously, I was going to say off field antics because he was slightly off field when he done that flying kick. It's just like
a little bit.
That's just one of them things where I know, like Suarez, like bit someone and that, but like going to the crowd and doing something like that, like at Elad's Juve did when he spat, it's like that's going above and beyond, like what you should even have to do. As like it doesn't matter how crazy you are, doing that is just unforgivable, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely true, mate. And it does make me laugh. And again, it's obviously a lot of people remember. In fact, I'll show you boys now. So when you see this kit, what do you think of?
Go on, Matt.
I think that I've got it in my wardrobe.
Fucking hell. Let's show the age. Go on, Mike. What are you saying when you're thinking it, when you see this kit?
So it's the Cantona goal, isn't it, in the final?
Well, it is.
How did it go through that many players? Still
exactly.
Still baffles but, me.
What other people will say is that this shirt represents Robbie Fowler scoring two at Old Trafford. And that was actually Cantona's comeback game after he'd been banned for, obviously, the flying kick against Crystal Palace, I think it was. And that was his first game back. And it was billed as the King's return and, you know, Eric Cantona this and Eric Cantona that. And Sky Sports have bigged it up that it was Eric Cantona's triumphant return and all that sort of stuff. And absolutely, Mr. Black put the nail on the head. That's what it makes think of Robbie Fowler. Absolutely, mate. It was built up as that. And Cantona won the penalty that they scored to equalise. And that's what really pissed me off, is the fact that they were jumping on the bandwagon and celebrating the fact that he'd come back from kicking a fan. And it was he hadn't broken his leg. He hadn't been injured for 9 months. He'd been banned for being a fucking prick. And he's like King Eric this and King Eric that, but yeah I'm glad we managed to snatch a point that day. But yeah, absolutely, this I do like that shirt. We need to do a show, boys, on our favourite kits and our favourite shirts. I think that'll be the next one. But what I want to do before we finish now is hang on. Well, to be fair, Tomo, he's thrown in Hazard there. Obviously Hazard has technically left the Premier League now, so we could put an honourable mention. But Matt, this is more a question for you, because I think for me and Mick, Hazard's a bit too young for our 11s. But was Hazard something that you thought of, Matt?
He wasn't going to get ahead of Ronaldo. It was a toss-up between Hazard and Bale. But I think Bale just pipped it because of his physicality.
Yeah.
More
okay. And that's just it with Bale again being in the. He's obviously with him coming back now. You know, it's who knows what Gareth Bale's going to do in the Premier League, but you know, have Real Madrid seen the best of Gareth Bale? We never know. And while Mr. Black is still here and contributing, we appreciate it very much, mate. He's done his Liverpool 11. So let's have a look. Alisson, Trent, Van Dijk, Kepa, Robbo, Gerrard, Alonso, Mascherano, Suarez, Mane and Salah. Formidable is the word I would use on that one. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I think Tomo is very similar to yours, mate, actually. Absolutely, he's definitely very, very similar. But again, Alisson, you're not going to argue. Again, it's the hippier. Do we go with Carragher? He's gone with hippier. I love that. And it's like, no, I like that. Mascherano is a player that hasn't really been mentioned. What a phenomenal footballer he was. Unbelievable player. So lucky we weren't with that few years to have the best midfield in the world. And Mick, we spoke to Momo Sissoko in the summer, didn't we? And he even said how privileged he was being in that midfield. And we did speak on the top as an Owen debate how much a catalyst Mascherano leaving was, wasn't it? Mascherano, mate, he went on to be an even better player at Barcelona, didn't he?
Yeah, and I think he was just the fact that he moved back to centre back as well and was still one of the best in the world. It is like Fabinho, where he's just one of those players where he's just great at tackling, positionally sound, one of the best. And it was a shame the way we lost them, and back then obviously we weren't winning as much, and we still had a great team, and we were trying to make that next step in terms of winning something and try and keep these players around. We just didn't manage to make that step. That's the only thing really. And yeah, that midfield, Alonso, Gerrard, and obviously Mascherano, and Momo Sissoko as well. It's just unreal.
Yeah, it was. It was indeed. So what I figured we'd do, boys, for our next live show, and I think we should do it again for next Sunday. Let's just put it out there. We'll put it up for next Sunday I reckon we should do your all-time worst 11s now. We're going to flip it, okay? So let's give you a week to do it. Okay, so you can't have any players, Matthew, that are still playing. They all have to be finished. So we're going to do worst Premier League 11. That'll be even harder for us, obviously, for non-other teams. And then you've got to do your worst Liverpool 11 as well. So obviously,
The worst Premier one's quite easy. Just that Derby 11 starting, that Derby 11 that got relegated with.
You can't. That's too easy. That's too easy. I'm going to start putting caveats in for you and say you're going to have one player from one club and all that sort of shit. So we're going to do that next Sunday. We'll do it the same time next Sunday. Obviously, if everybody can make it for next week, we'll do it. Mick, are you cool with that? Worst 11s there. We'll flip it over.
Yeah. Well, from when we've done our ones not long ago, I've still got me worst the Liverpool one, but I don't think I've ever thought about a worst Premier League one. So that's going to be, I have to dig through the archives and have a look at the absolute shite. That was flying back then.
That's why I'm giving us a week, because I think it's going to take us a week just to look through all the shite that has been in the Premier League. So yeah, absolutely. So we'll do that. Tomo says that's pretty easy. I think we'll be interested to see Tomo's LFC worst 11 and his Premier League worst 11 next week. Obviously, it's all a bit of fun and games, of course, but it'll be very interesting to see the names that crop on those lists as well. But it's been one of the quickest hour and a half I've ever seen. I absolutely loved it. I think the comments that we got from everybody was fantastic. We appreciate everybody interacting with us again. Obviously, Keep your eyes peeled for some more content. We're going to do loads more during the international break. I'm still getting pissed off the fact that it's still going, but what can we do? But yeah, Mick, Matt, you both happy with your 11s? Yeah, all good.
Yeah.
Not changing anything.
No. Maybe a bit of a shout out for Cesc Fabregas, but that's about it. Oh,
yeah, I was thinking about Cesc. He was in, like you said, like no one mentioned Yaya Toure. Yaya Toure was in Man originally, and I've just kept messing with it. I think I put him in ahead of Scholes first, and I just thought I've just got to be unbiased and just like put Scholes in. Unfortunately, but so many names like David Silva as well was another one I mentioned that they could have creeped in as another sentiment because he was just effortlessly boss. So he's another one. But yeah, I think happy overall with the selections.
Good stuff, mate. Well, I can't wait for next week now to see the worst ones, and obviously we'll keep pushing it for next week for everyone to join in on us. Appreciate everybody watching. Appreciate all the interactions. Some of the 11s were absolutely brilliant. Join us next week when we do the worst Liverpool 11 in the Premier League era and the worst non-Liverpool in the Premier League era. About that, right? It's probably a tongue twister for that for me. But what we are going to finish on, gents, Matthew, thank you very much for joining us. Mick, as always, mate, appreciate it. Thank you very much, Yoda. I'm going to smash that cup before next week. But one thing obviously we are going to finish on, boys, is the tribute to Ray Clements, who sadly passed away today. Ray Clements, I agree, Liverpool's greatest ever number one. Network.